But each year we spend one Sunday, usually this one during the bank holiday weekend, to think about one of the 39 articles of the Church of England. What are the 39 articles, I hear you silently ask? Well, they're the core beliefs of the Church of England. They were put together in the 1600s after people had been studying the Bible for a long time, working out what the core beliefs of a church should be. And they still stand today as the core beliefs of our church. They're the beliefs that Steve and I, together with everyone in ordained ministry in the Church of England, have promised to uphold. And they're the core. They're our core beliefs. Therefore, that anyone on the electoral roll can expect that members of the PCCs and members of the leadership team and the ministry team and everybody in responsibility in the church, everybody can expect that those people believe these things. The 39 articles, if you like, are the DNA of our church. And so it's worth us then exploring, isn't it? Exploring what they have to say from time to time. And this year we come to Article 5. We've done Articles 1 to 4 over the last 4 years. This is Article 5, and it's all about the Holy Spirit. Now, I wonder what you think about the Holy Spirit. I think some think that he is a kind of celestial electricity, if you like. Or perhaps a term that describes the actions of God in the world. Others think that he's a bit scary, maybe. That he represents those bits of Christianity that are a bit too, well, enthusiastic or extreme. Still more think that the Holy Spirit is so mysteriously confusing that he's best kind of ignored and left on the shelf. But whatever you think about the Holy Spirit, I hope that this morning you'll be encouraged and informed about what the Church of England believes about the Holy Spirit. And here's what Article 5 actually says. It's written in old-fashioned language, so I've found a modern translation of it. Here's what it says. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. He is of one substance, majesty, and glory with the Father and the Son, true and eternal God. That's it. Very short, eh? And there is loads more in the Bible that article doesn't even begin to touch on, because those things that I've just read from the article are the core beliefs about the Holy Spirit. And because one of the canons, one of the laws of the Church of England says this, the doctrine of the Church of England is grounded in the Holy Scriptures, we do believe everything that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. It's our job as the Church of England to believe the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. So what we're going to do today is first of all think about two things from Article 5 and think about what they say about the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to spend most of our time in John chapter 15 and 16 thinking about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit there. And then finally, we're going to finish with something quite extraordinary from Romans chapter 8. So that's where we're going. So first of all, two things the article says about the Holy Spirit. And here's the first one. He is a person. And for some, that may come as a bit of a surprise. And even for those of us who've always known that the Holy Spirit is a person, quite often we forget that he is, don't we? At least in practice. Or we talk about him as if he's supernatural electricity or God's superpowers or something like that. But our article is very clear, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is a person. And that comes right at right from our Bible passage, doesn't it? Look with me at John chapter 15 and verse 26, down at the bottom of page 1083 there. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Counselor comes," that's his name for the Holy Spirit at that point, "when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify again about me." So there you go, three references to the Holy Spirit being a person, right from Jesus' lips to his disciples. So our article is just repeating what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit is a person. That's the first thing from our article. The second thing is this. The Holy Spirit is God. When our article says this, "He is of one substance, majesty, and glory with the Father and the Son," it means that the Holy Spirit, it is kind of cut of the same cloth, if you like, of God the Father and God the Son, Jesus. He's the same type of being as Father and Son. And just to be sure that we've got the point, the article finishes with the words, "He is true and eternal God." Again, that might sound obvious to many. This is our faith. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, goes one of the creeds that we sometimes say here. But again, it's easy to forget that the Holy Spirit is God, isn't it? Or at least it's easy to forget the implications of the Holy Spirit being the third person of the Trinity, of being God. It's easy to either, on one hand, downplay the Holy Spirit, or on the other hand, think we can somehow manipulate the Holy Spirit. But because he's God, we shouldn't downplay him, and we certainly can't manipulate him. And John's Gospel begins to help us to understand the implications of the Holy Spirit being God. And this is what we're going to find out from our reading. So we found out from the article that the Holy Spirit is a person and he's God. And we're going to find out from our reading this, that the Holy Spirit speaks God's words to us uniquely through the Bible. John 15 and 16, as Dorothy helpfully said at the beginning of the reading, are part of a long conversation that Jesus had with his disciples at the Last Supper, the night before he was crucified. John was one of those disciples, and it's his gospel that we've just read, and he wrote down what was said in that conversation. And that's what we have in John 15 and 16. Well, John 14, 15 and 16, actually. So when Jesus says, "you," in those chapters, who must he be speaking to? The disciples. Have a look with me at the first couple and the last few verses of the reading Dorothy read. John chapter 15, verse 26 again. "When the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you, disciples, also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." And then jumping on to chapter 16, verse 12, over the page. Chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus continued, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you, disciples, into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He'll bring glory to me by taking from me what is mine and making it known to you," the disciples again. "And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from me what is mine and make it known to you, my disciples." For the disciples, those words must have been mind-blowing, mustn't they? Absolutely mind-blowing. Mind-blowing because Jesus is telling them that after he's died He's going to die the next day. And then after he's risen again and ascended into heaven, he and the Father will send the Holy Spirit to speak directly to the disciples, guiding them into all truth. And just imagine being one of those disciples, hearing those words that God is going to speak directly to them and guide them into all truth, telling them all of the things that Jesus hadn't had yet time to tell them over the 3 years he'd been with them. And now, because the Holy Spirit is God himself, the words he spoke to the disciples, whose words were they? God's very own words. And that has massive implications for us, doesn't it? Because what did the disciples like Matthew, Peter, and John do with these words that the Holy Spirit spoke to them about Jesus? Well, they wrote them down in our Bibles for us. And those words make up the New Testament. And because the Holy Spirit is God, and God is incapable of making any mistake, we can be certain that what he said to the disciples was 100% accurate. And how he guided their writing was also 100% perfect. So that what we have in our Bibles are the very words that the Holy Spirit spoke to the disciples, translated into English for us to read today. What an amazing thing that is. The very words of God. So because of the Holy Spirit, we can know and we can trust our Bibles, knowing that when they're read, we hear God's words. And so it's right to say, isn't it, that when we do hear the Bible read, whether it's by ourselves at home or in church or wherever, it's right to say that we're hearing God himself speaking directly to us through the words of the disciples. We know that the Holy Spirit tells us of God's great plan to save a people for himself through the work of Jesus on the cross, and to take his people to be with him in that glorious new creation that's promised in Revelation that John also wrote. What wonderful words for believing Christians, followers of Jesus. The Spirit speaks to us through the word. But a bit surprisingly, the Spirit speaks to people who aren't Christians, people who aren't believing Christians, followers of Jesus. But perhaps in a way that we might be a little bit surprised. I wonder if you caught it as Dorothy read it. Look with me at verses 8 and 9 of our Bible passage. John chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men, all people, do not believe in me." In other words, the Holy Spirit will prove the world, that's John's word for all of those people who don't follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit will prove the world to be wrong about the things of God and wrong about what is right and wrong, because the world doesn't believe in Jesus. It's very possible that on a day like today, a public service, that there are people here who don't yet follow Jesus for themselves in a life of repentance and faith. And if that's you, then it might be that whenever you hear the Bible read or explained, particularly the bits about sin, you feel a pang of guilt, whether you like admitting that or not. Now, that's very good news that you feel that. And it's good news because that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And he's convicting you of your sin to bring you to a point when you're ready to admit your sin and to ask God for forgiveness for the first time. And he's longing to do that. He's longing to forgive you. and he will forgive you if you ask. He's speaking to you, calling him back, calling you back to himself. So from our article, we've seen that the Holy Spirit is a person and that he's God. And from John's Gospel, we've seen that he speaks God's very words through the Bible. And so here's our final thing, the most amazing, incredible thing about the Holy Spirit. There's lots more we could have thought about, but we haven't got time. We could have a whole series of Sundays on the Holy Spirit. But here's the final thing that we really need to understand. Here it is. The Holy Spirit lives in believing Christians, lives within us, giving us eternal life. And through the Spirit, Jesus himself lives within us too. Listen to the difference the Spirit makes to all those to whom he lives. That's all those who follow Jesus. And this is from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 9. You, however, talking to Christians, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in ye, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. In other words, that means that anyone who is a real follower of Jesus does have the Spirit living in them. Carrying on verse 10. But if Christ is in ye, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, even though we're all going to die, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, which he is if you're trusting Jesus, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. What an amazing thing that is, that by trusting in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, with all of his might and power, comes to live within us, guaranteeing us eternal life. He's like the down payment of our eternal life. We have the promises in the Bible, but we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, living within us now. So I want you to do a little experiment. Look at the person sitting next to you. You're not all doing it. Look at the person sitting next to you. If that person is someone who follows Jesus in a life of repentance and faith, then that person has the Holy Spirit, God himself, living within them. Isn't that remarkable? And if you're somebody who is following Jesus and has repented of their sin and is wanting to live for him, next time you're brushing your hair, looking in the mirror, remember who you have living within you, the Holy Spirit, God himself. And because God is a person, you can't have more or less of the Holy Spirit than anybody else. You can't have more of John Telford standing here, can you? You've either got me or you've not. Unfortunately for you, you've got me today. But the Holy Spirit is the same. You either have him living in you or you don't. And if you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within you. That is who he is. That is what he does. And because the Holy Spirit lives within us, that brings the Bible even closer, doesn't it? Because we have the author of the Bible living in us, helping us to understand it when we ask him to do so. Speaking the very truths of God, his Spirit to our spirit. What a privilege. So as we begin to wrap up, the Holy Spirit is God, a divine person, the third person of the Trinity, who speaks his words through the Bible and who lives within his people. He's far from being an impersonal force, isn't he? He's not scary. He's not just for those who are enthusiastic out there Christians. He's not to be ignored. He can't be manipulated. And he's not just for the young things who are excited about their faith. He's a wonderful gift who lives in all who trust and follow Jesus. A wonderful gift who speaks God's words into our hearts, changing us and preparing us for heaven. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your wonderful gift, the Holy Spirit. And we pray that we would understand him more, that we would know that he lives within us if we're following Jesus, and that we would know that he is for us and speaks your words, bringing Jesus straight to us. Amen.